Scripture reading this evening comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 27 through 31. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him.
Justin and I were talking before services, and somehow the topic of the sermon came up, and I said, "This may be the shortest sermon I've ever preached." And he said, "Good." The title of the sermon is just 10 verses. In Acts chapter 8, what we have is something very simple, and this is just kind of to get us going. You see, you have this man who has been to worship, and he's traveling back from worship, and he's reading from his copy of the Scriptures, his copy of Isaiah. And he's asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Well, what he's reading is important for one lesson, but not in this lesson. The lesson here is, do you understand what you're reading? 11 times in the gospel accounts, Jesus says something along these lines. "Have you not read?" Or, "Have you never read?" Or, "How do you read it?" It was important for Jesus that people were reading God's word and understanding God's word. And this last couple of weeks, as I was doing some sermon work, which amazing, I do that a lot. As I was working on some sermon ideas, I ran across a sermon from a friend of mine. Some of y'all may know him, Levi Sides. And this sermon he called 10 Verses You Need to Memorize Before You Die. I'm not going to call it that, okay? Because I'm not using the same verses he is. Some of them are the same, but these are 10 verses that I think are important for us to know. And really, all I'm going to do through this lesson is I'm going to read these verses, let you turn to them, read them. I'll make a little comment and move on to the next one. There are 10 of them. If I spend 1 minute, that's 10 minutes. And if I spend 2 minutes, that's 20. 3 minutes, that's 30. This could be a long sermon, come to think of it. But I just want us to look at these verses because these are important verses that I think you and I need to know. Some of them don't need comment. Let's start with Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. The text simply says, "And just as it appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment." That verse is pretty straightforward, isn't it? There is a moment in your life when your life will be no more, and after that you face judgment. Are you ready? Only you can answer that. You need to know that verse. Romans 3 and verse 23 kind of follows that up to remind us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's an important verse to remember on a number of levels. It's important, first of all, because it says sin's common. It's important because it reminds me that I don't need to be looking at other people saying, "Look how terrible they are," when I have my own sin. I have my own struggles. I have those things that keep me from being who I should be. But that's not all of the message. The next verse that we'd look at would be John 3, verses 16 and 17. I'm cheating. I'm putting two verses together. John 3, verses 16 and 17. We know these verses. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, we know that verse, and we need to remember verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listen to that verse again. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus didn't come to say, "Y'all are wrong." Jesus came to say, "You need to be right in me. You need to be saved." There's a big difference, isn't there? Maybe the next set of verses we need to look at is Acts 2 and verse 42. That those who had obeyed that gospel on that day, and that day of Pentecost in Acts 2, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayers. They were together. And they spent time together. They spent time together studying what God would have them to do. They spent time together praying. They spent time together fellowshipping. They were together. That's important for us as Christians, that we're there to encourage each other. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. This kind of connects back to Romans 3. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you unless you fail to meet the test? How many times do you take a look at yourself? How many times do you evaluate your own condition, spiritually speaking? Maybe we do that for health reasons. Maybe we check and make sure we're being as healthy as we can. Maybe we keep a check on our blood pressure or our pulse and whatever we can check at home. And maybe we do that, but we need to do that not only physically but spiritually. Or where are we? You know, this morning we talked about the revival, the need for revival, starting with ourselves, and to draw that circle and step in and say, God, start revival right here inside this circle. Well, we need to examine ourselves. Do we need to step inside that circle? Do we need to say, God, I need help. I need to be better. Are you looking and comparing yourself with God's word and what God would want and saying, I need to improve. I need to be more like Christ. Those are just challenges for us as I look at these verses. Next on the list is Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. I know we need this verse. I say we. I know I need this verse. Because have you ever got to that point where you're doing what's right and you're doing what's right and you feel like you're doing what's right and you've been doing what's right and you don't see that anybody else is doing what's right? And you begin to think, what good is it for me to keep doing what's right when nobody else is? Anybody else been there? Okay, so you're allowed to do this. Because we're not talking about you, because I know you're doing good. But everybody else in the world, it seems like, you know, I'm trying to do what's right and they don't care and everything's going great for them and things seem to be tough for us. And it just gets, Paul says, don't grow weary of doing good, because you will reap in due time if you don't give up. Hang in there. Keep doing what's right, even if it seems like nobody else is. And along those lines, Ephesians 4, verse 15. Speak the truth in love. There's more to that verse, but I'm just going to read that part. Speaking the truth in love. People need to hear the truth. People need to hear what's right. They need to hear that things that are in the world are wrong. But there's a way to say them and a way not to say them. And I'll illustrate this. And I will use this illustration for the next 25 years. I've used it for the last 25, so I know I'll use it for the next 25. Husband and wife are talking and are in the same room. And she just kind of whispers to him as she walks by, honey, I love you. And he responds, I love you too. Did he say the right words? Did he speak truth? As far as I know, he did. But how do you communicate truth? You can communicate truth with love, or you can communicate truth without love. And which is better? Well, we know which is better. It's what Paul says, speak the truth in love. What's that old phrase? You draw more flies with honey than you do vinegar. So, you know, sprinkle a little love in there. Let people know that you're saying this because you care, not because you think you're right and they're wrong. Philippians 4 and verse 13 is the next verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This goes back to, I think, everything else we've talked about so far. Is it hard to keep going? Is it hard to show love? Is it hard to do some of these things? Yes, but I can do them. I can do God's will. I can be the person I'm supposed to be through God who gives me strength, through Christ who gives me strength, through that life that is in me because I have given my life to him. We talked some about that this morning and the week before, come to think of it. I can. It doesn't matter who I am or where I've been or what I've done or where I'm from. When I'm Christ, I can do his will. Remember what they said of the apostles? Are not these men Galileans? Aren't these men, you know, from that area? I mean, nobody from that area does anything good. But yet, look what they did because of Christ. James 1 and verse 27. pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We need to be doing good. We've talked about that. We need to be doing good to people, for people, as best we can. And then to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's the hard part, isn't it? Because the world is there. And it's out there. And it pulls at you. And it shows you things. And it invites you to things. And it makes it difficult to do what's right. But one of our responsibilities is to do our best to keep ourselves unstained, unspotted from those things of the world. Which means we have to pull ourselves out. We have to say, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. I may have to live here, but I don't have to be like them. So I'm not going to grow weary doing good. And then the last verse. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. See, in verses 9 through 10, he's talking about how the earth and the works will be destroyed and burned up. And in verse 11, he says something very interesting. Since these things are so, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? And that's really the focus of what this is. These are 10 verses, 10 passages for each of us to look at and consider to help us be the people we should be, who we ought to be as we live for God. So real quickly, reading them together. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that the judgment. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And those disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. See whether you are in the faith. And do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you'll reap if you don't quit. But speak the truth in love. And grow up into every way to him who is the head in Christ, knowing you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's the sort of people we ought to be in lives of holiness and godliness. Where do you find yourself? Do you need your brothers and sisters to pray with you, to encourage you? When we offer an invitation, that's what it's for. For us to have an opportunity to say, I need strength to be who I'm supposed to be. An opportunity to say, there are things I'm facing that I need you to be here with me. To devote ourselves to each other and to prayer. It's also an opportunity for those who are not children of God to have their sins washed in his blood, to come his child as they obey the gospel. If you need to respond this evening, will you come? As together we stand and as we sing.